May we look for a moment at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Matthew 28 and verse 6. The city of Jerusalem had been strangely moved by the death of Christ. He had been betrayed by Judas, nailed to a cruel cross by wicked men, had been forsaken by his disciples. He had spoken of a kingdom, but with his death, all the dreams and hopes and aspirations and longings of his followers had been destroyed. A huge stone sealed the tomb and was stamped by Roman law. None dare open it. Soldiers guarded it. But suddenly, on the third day, that tomb was empty. A heavenly messenger announced, "He is risen." To his chosen disciples, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Acts 1, verse 3. "Go quickly," said the angel to the women at the tomb, "and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Matthew 28 and verse 7. First of all, his resurrection is the ground of our salvation. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Romans 10 and verse 9. Our Lord was committed to the grave as a kind of hostage. Christ died for our sins. It was as a huge debt imputed to him. But he had said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." John 2, 19. After his death on the cross, the supreme question was, could he do that? If not, then there is no proof that the debt of human sin was paid. If not, there is no human redemption. If not, then we are doomed and damned forever. But he did that. He rose from the dead. And by his rising we know the purpose of his death, that of our redemption, was fully accomplished. Our hearts begin to sing at the empty tomb. Our hopes revive at the door of the sepulchre. By his rising, we know the debt of sin has been paid, and the devil and all his hosts defeated, and the power of death destroyed. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. By his resurrection, we know and are certain that in the mystery of his cross, the Lord Jesus accomplished full, total, and complete redemption for all men. Secondly, his resurrection is the power for holy living. "If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Colossians 3, 1 and 2. The exercise of faith links the believing soul with Christ. We are joined to him. Because of that union, the Lord then communicates his risen life to the spirit of the believer. This life of his sheds light into the soul of man, and so exposes the vain deceit of human philosophy, of the traditions of men, of the rudiments of this world. Colossians 2 and verse 8. No light rises from the earth. Light is from above. Only clouds arise from the earth, and clouds obscure light. Human philosophy hides all revealed truth, defies conscience, ignores sin, denies the judgment of God, and thus the things of God are hidden from the eyes of worldly and sensuous philosophers. Some at last cannot think of spiritual exercises save in terms of sacred building, ritualistic ceremonies, carnal priesthood, special dress and vestments, beads and images, pictures and statues, all of which are of this world and are hindrances and impediments to pure spiritual exercises. It is the communication of our Lord's resurrection life which produces spiritual movement in the soul and which breaks out into the bud and the flower and the fruit of godly living, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10. It is because of the power of his resurrection life communicated to our souls that godliness can be produced in us. There can be a pure walk in which sin is subdued, in which boisterous passions are lulled, in which fiery lusts are becalmed, in which miry paths are made clean. This is all possible because of that resurrection life communicated to us. And it is only such a life in which peace and joy can go hand in hand and scatter heavenly fragrance wherever we may go. It is one of the grand purports of our Lord's resurrection to make this lovely life of godliness to thrive within us, its roots to deepen, its branches to bear fruit acceptable and satisfying to God, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to his Son. Romans 8 and verse 29. And so you see that the resurrection life of our Lord communicated to us is the inspiration and the power for godly living. And thirdly, his resurrection is the pledge of our resurrection. As surely as our Lord rose bodily from the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, so shall all the bodies of those who are in Christ arise. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Philippians 3 and verse 21. The great preacher, Joseph Parker, once cried out from the city temple, from the city temple's pulpit in London, England, "The devil can have my body. Christ has my soul." But oh no, Mr. Parker. Our body is part of our total manhood. And the dust of it is redeemed dust. And the devil shall have none of it. We shall rise. The creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. Romans 8, 21, 23. The redemption of our body is also the recompense of Jesus' shed blood. The new body is to be beautiful beyond all thought. Our bodies, until transformed in the resurrection and into the likeness of the Lord, cannot take in the dazzling prospects of the glory of heaven. We need that new body. We shall have that new body. And in that new body, we shall have an eternal vision clearly displayed to our eyes and shall express through that body an eternal adoration to the great God, our Savior. Oh, listen to the words of Edmund Budry, translated by Richard Hoyle. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death has won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave cloth where the body lay. To Jesus, so Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing, for her Lord now liveth, death hath lost its sting. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of Life. Life is naught without thee. Aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors. Through thy deathless love, bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. How true. Amen.